Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
On a Tuesday, this is the Herd. Live in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is great to have you in. Record-setting night for Drew Brees, one of my all-time favorite players. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Tuesday. That was fun last night.
Good morning. That was quite a moment.
Quite a moment for Drew Brees. It's a couple of months ago. Could have been 6 months ago. We just had a day. We were just kind of talking about quarterbacks, and they kind of run the sport now. And there's only 7 or 8 great ones on the planet right now. And I said, Drew Brees, I started watching football in 1972. I'll give you the year before we show any tape. 1972, I watched the Super Bowl between Miami and Washington. From that day forward, it was a January in 1972. From that day until today, I've been watching football. And it's been my favorite sport. I like college football. I like the NBA. NFL's my favorite sport. Football guy, always have been. And I listed the great 8 quarterbacks, and I put Drew Brees on that list. And people are like, whoa, what about Aaron Rodgers? What about Steve Young? And I'm like, folks, I don't know what it is and why we choose to support certain people, but I just want to let you think about Drew Brees for a second. I'm always more impressed when people overcome things in life. I want you to think about the obstacles Drew Brees has faced in life. Number one, DNA. He's 6 feet tall. There was no Russell Wilson. People didn't want to draft him. 6 feet tall quarterbacks don't make it. DNA disadvantage. Junior year of high school, tears his knee up. Senior year, nobody will give him a scholarship except 2 basketball schools, Purdue and Kentucky. He goes to the NFL where he's good in San Diego for 3 years, and then they draft Phillip Rivers, another obstacle. Oh, by the way, in the NFL, his last game in San Diego, he hurts his shoulder. And then he goes to Miami, and publicly the doctor says, I can't clear you to play. Obstacle. And then he goes to New Orleans, and it's a natural disaster. Katrina. Obstacle. They play home games in San Antonio, one of them in New York. And then halfway through his stay in New Orleans, Sean Payton gets suspended for 1 year, his architect. His life is a movie that you cry at. You cry during. It's not a documentary. It's a tearjerker. It's A Star Is Born. I mean, it's incredible what he's overcome. We live in a time now. God, you spend 5 minutes on Twitter. It's woe is me. Everybody's against me. Hey, millennials, sorry if mom didn't pack you lunch and fold your underwear. Drew Brees, it's been every 2 years, a major obstacle, natural disasters, DNA, injuries. His timing's been terrible. God, he goes to New Orleans. Katrina, his last game in San Diego, he gets hurt. The greatest 8 quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game. Peyton, Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, Elway, Marino, Aikman, Brees. And all of them have different stories. But compare it to Peyton Manning. He broke his record last night, right? Passing yards. But just think about, and by the way, Peyton Manning's one of the best I've ever seen. I've never talked to Peyton Manning, talked to Cooper, talked to Eli, and Peyton's great. I was more of a Brady guy than Peyton, but Peyton's an all-time great guy. All-time great quarterback. But think of Peyton Manning's path. Peyton Manning DNA. Perfect. 6'5". Peyton Manning's dad, NFL quarterback. Peyton Manning had his choice of SEC schools surrounded by NFL players. And then when he goes to Indianapolis, oh, they land Bill Polian, Hall of Fame general manager, who gives Peyton Manning great player after great player after great player on the offensive side. He also got drafted. I mean, if you think about Peyton Manning's life, and he deserves all the acclaim, he didn't face all these obstacles. Drew Brees from DNA on, nothing but hurdles, nothing but roadblocks, and he breaks Peyton Manning's record. It's unbelievable. So when I say great 8 quarterbacks and people push back on it, I'm like, look at your own life. I mean, I say this all the time. I had a few divorces in my life when I was a kid. But my mom was doting. My dad was a doctor, so I got some of his brain power. I had a good relationship with my sister. I lived in the same house forever. I got a quarterback in high school. I fell in love with sports. I grew up in a small town, so there was, you know, lots of space right next to the beach. Had a good dog. I may have had some issues in my life, but I didn't have that many roadblocks. I had a good life. I went to therapy once. And I was like, what am I crying for? I didn't have any roadblocks. Yeah, there's a few divorces in my life. Drew Brees' life? His athletic career? His professional career? It's just like it's a steeplechase. Hurdle after hurdle after hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. And here's the play where he set the record.
So the family's on the field in anticipation of celebration. Will we get it here before halftime?
Brees. Oh, wide open.
Wide open! And Smith, what a way to do it!
Isn't that great? Isn't that fitting? A big play. A big play. Congratulations to Drew Brees. He is scheduled to phone us in 1 hour. One of my all-time favorite guys. He is just diligence. I mean, if you had four or five words to describe him, it's guile and guts and grit and great. And all boxed into one, tip of the cap, one of my all-time favorite guys. Started watching football in 1972. His story is as great as anybody that's ever played that position in this league. Amazing. Let me shift gears to this. Drew Brees, it's fitting Drew Brees did what he did last night because the NFL's hard. Careers don't last very long. You don't have guaranteed contracts. A doctor can say, you're not cleared to play. It's hard. That's why I think I've always liked football players more than other athletes. It's hard, man. It's hard. Successful guys are dealing with injuries. So the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, they just found out Jay Ajayi, a running back, tore his ACL. Oh, another bit of bad news for the Eagles. By the way, he called out the team and their play calling. Hours later, he found out ACL tear, probably out for the year. Yeah, when you win in Philadelphia, and then you start lecturing the NFL, Drew Brees showed you last night, it's hard. Think about all the things that have changed in the last 5 to 6 months for Philadelphia. Their offensive coordinator is now a head coach. He left in Indianapolis. Their quarterback coach is now the offensive coordinator in Minneapolis, LeGarrette Bunt. Trey Burton, Brent Celek retires, Torrey Smith traded, Mike Wallace placed on IR, Darren Sproles out since week one, Jay Ajayi probably out for the year. Okay? This is why I said the Philadelphia Eagles, books, parades, chatter, politics, reminded me so much of my hometown Seattle Seahawks. New England is on their 18th straight year of being in the Super Bowl conversation. Do we understand how unbelievable that is? College sports are built for dynasties. The best teams get the best players in recruiting. The NBA, the best cities add more great players. In the NFL, when I watch what's happening to Philadelphia, it just illustrates how unbelievable what the New England Patriots are doing. We're a few months removed from the Super Bowl champs. They go into camp. They're a mess. Their season Thursday against the New York Giants. I know it's like week six, but am I wrong saying it's a must win? This is why I compared the Eagles to the Seahawks. They were historically frustrating franchise. They land a star quarterback. Doesn't take long. They win a Super Bowl. They get loud. They start talking. They lose coordinators. And the next morning they wake up. Oh, we're back to being what we looked like. You ever throw a big party at your house? You ever throw a big party at your house? And I mean, here's my thing. But my wife and I once or twice a year we'll throw a party. And I'm like, I don't want to party till 4 a.m. because I know what it looks like in my house the next morning when I wake up. This is why one of the mantras on my show is celebrate briefly, grind daily. The bigger the party, the bigger the mess the following morning when you wake up. And the Seahawks and the Eagles, they partied like crazy. They're writing books and parades and talking and politics. And look at them. Folks, getting to the top is one thing. staying there is harder. There's been a lot of one-hit wonders in music. There's a handful of legends. In Philadelphia, don't give up on them. That division's not very good. I still think the Philadelphia Eagles will find a way to get into the playoffs. But what you're seeing, Jay Ajayi, out now probably for the year, you know what you should be thinking about? How damn impressive New England is. College sports is built for dynasties. Duke wins a title, they get more good players. Bama, Ohio State wins a title, they get more good players. In the NBA, stars are joining stars. In the NFL, Philadelphia, that's got a good owner, a great GM, a great coach, a great quarterback. Check, 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 check. All the things. Great offensive line. Great defensive line. It's man overboard. 6 months later.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Troy Aikman was talking about on Dallas Radio this morning. He was talking about Dak Prescott. And Troy Aikman said something. And, you know, when Troy talks in Dallas about the Cowboys and the quarterback situation, everybody listens. So he said this morning about Dak Prescott, he needs to be more accurate. First thing I look for is accuracy, because the rest of it doesn't matter. Leadership, size, smart. I've seen too many throws in that regard, and there needs to be a little more anticipation. He just needs to be more accurate. And it's very interesting. Like, in the NFL, if you get the quarterback right and you get the head coach right, you can screw up a lot of other stuff. You really can. It's like in the culinary business. If you get the food right and you get the service right, you can screw up a lot in that business. But the food's good. The service is good. You know, if I have a great location, people will find your restaurant. There's a lot of holes in the wall all over America. Great food, great service. Lines around the block, and it's not even a nice block. Okay, location doesn't mean anything. Got to get the food right. In movies, you get the script right, you get the director right. You don't have to have Tom Hanks in every movie. You got a great script. There's been a lot of movies that have made that you don't know anybody in the movie. Script right, director right, actors less important. In the NFL, you get the quarterback right, and you get the coach right. The Rams have it. Kansas City has it. New England has it. You know, and not many teams doing it like that. New Orleans obviously has it. You can screw up in a lot of different areas. And in Dallas, quarterback, head coach Jason Garrett. Dallas is doing a lot right. Star running back. That's important. Ask the Rams. Good offensive line. That's important. Ask the Rams. They got great young pass rushers. I love their linebackers. When Sean Lee is healthy with this group, I love their linebackers. Dallas is doing a lot right. Good defensive coordinator. But Jason Garrett, I saw this morning, is the first head coach to be fired, according to the odds makers. I think Troy Aikman's right. In fact, I was looking at highest completion percentage in the NFL. Dak Prescott's 28th. So they're doing a lot right in Dallas. But the quarterback and the coach right now. Now, Jerry Jones, he talked this morning as well. Now, Jerry, here's the rub. Jerry so far has been very, very supportive of Dak Prescott. He said this morning.
I'm firmly in the corner that we've got a quarterback that we can build with and have for years to come in Dak Prescott.
Okay.
Make no mistake about it.
Okay. But remember, Dak's making under $1 million. What happens in 6 months when Dak's agent asks for $26 million? Because, by the way, Kirk Cousins asked for 35, got 28. And Alex Smith asked for 30 and got 23.5. Yet Dak Prescott, at the current contract rate, is a steal. But what do you think his agent's going to come in at? Agents don't come in low. They come in high and want to get every penny out of you. Is Jerry Jones going to be so pro-Dak when they ask for $27.5 million a year? And they're not going to take anything less than $23 million. Because they're going to say, well, what about Alex Smith? Our guy's not as good as Alex Smith. And they're going to throw up numbers, and some of those are going to be the first year and a half numbers, which look really good. So it's Dallas. But, you know, listen, if you get the quarterback and the coach right in this league, you can screw up in a lot of places. Dallas is doing a lot right. But they got big questions coming up here. Dallas has two big questions coming up in the next 6 months. quarterback head coach, and they may have to make moves with both.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Speaking of great quarterbacks, Tom Brady would certainly qualify for that. He was talking about Patrick Mahomes, and they play each other this week. The Patriots play the Kansas City Chiefs. And, he was on a Boston radio station, WEEI Brady, and he was talking about, it wasn't a shot at Mahomes to me, but he was talking about how the game now has changed for young quarterbacks.
You know, I think football was different then. You know, I think now, I think in some ways it's pro football is more of glorified college football. So I think in some ways it's maybe the transition, it's a more similar game than what it used to be, you know, when I first started. So it's much, I think football now is removing some of the physical elements of the game. It's just, it's more of a space game. And, you know, you see a lot of kind of college plays, you know, more in the pro game now than what I remember when I started. So, you know, that's just kind of how things have went over the last bunch of years.
There's no, by the way, completion percentages. What Drew Brees is completing, what, 78% of his throws. I do think the game is easier if you're a really talented quarterback today than it was 15 years ago. I don't think that's a shot. But I think what the NFL's done brilliantly, and they've done this my entire life, they're the great borrowers. They're not stealing everybody else's ideas. They're borrowing them and making them their own. They borrowed from the XFL. A lot of the camera angles you see, XFL. They've borrowed plays and coaches from the CFL, Canadian football. They've borrowed concepts from arena football. Now they're borrowing concepts from college football. You know, people worry so much about being original. Everything's copied. And there's like, basically in music, there's only so many riffs. They say that every sitcom ever created has three basic themes. All Netflix is a bigger, broader international version of HBO. All Uber is a different form of taxis. If you look at the number one movie in America right now, is Star is Born. It's its third remake. If you're sitting around worrying about, oh my God, this is my original content, nothing's original.
Nothing is new.
Nothing is new. It's taking concepts, borrowing them, and making them your own.
I would say the NFL even borrows things from the NBA now.
This is absolutely true. I think when you watch, I watched the baseball playoffs last night on one TV and the NFL on the other. In baseball, I'm waiting for something to happen. In football, I don't have to wait anymore. They got rid of huddles. By the way, a couple years ago, the NBA loosened up the celebrations. And that, to me, was borrowing from the NBA. Because if a guy dunks in the NBA, Steph Curry shimmies, and it's okay. It's part of the celebration. It ends up on the internet. It's free publicity on Twitter and Facebook. And the NFL's like, you know what? NBA's crushing it in social media. What if we let our players celebrate what's happened? You go to on a Sunday, you watch Twitter, and the celebrations are on as much as the touchdowns.
I know, miraculously, it did not kill the game that they let them do.
I myself do not like celebrations. I'm not a celebration person. John, you know this. I literally wake up, I go chop wood. I do sit-ups. I'm not a big celebration person.
You read the newspaper with your prune juice?
But NFL ratings are up, okay? Almost nothing on linear TV is up. And they're up because they've just borrowed a bunch of ideas. And I love the current. I love it. I love the current NFL. I mean, I watched the Chicago Bears. That's a 60-40 college offense. I watched the LA Rams. That feels like a 60-40 college offense. So I don't have any problem with it at all. I think it's great. I think they're the great borrowers. I don't think Tom Brady was banging on anybody. Listen, if you look at the completion percentages in the NFL right now, it's like 7-on-7 passing drills. Drew Brees is almost at 80%. I mean, Cam Newton is not a precision quarterback. He's in the mid-60s. I mean, Joe Namath finished at 50%. Joe Namath let go of a football. Coin flip, completed or not completed. Drew Brees lets go of a football 8 out of 10 times. Somebody will catch it. Now, some of that's Drew Brees. Some of that is the new football we have, which I think is absolutely, absolutely without question. Yeah, here are the highest completion percentages. Never been a time in my life. There's like 7 guys in the 70s. I always said you got to get to 62%. Now, when I look at football, I'm like, you kind of got to get to 66%. You got to be 65 or 66%. And I was always like, when Tim Tebow was winning games, I'm like, this is not sustainable. He's completing 47%. That's just not sustainable. And I've been critical of Cam Newton through the years. I'm like 58%. Eli Manning without OBJ is 58%. That's not sustainable. You get to a point now where I'm not sure if it's sustainable to be like 60-61. I mean, Dak Prescott's 28th in the NFL. And I, but by the way, John, look it up. I think he's like 64. He's not. Yeah, he, I mean, Dak Prescott's 62%. And that's 28th in the league. And the knock on him from Troy Aikman this morning on Dallas radio, that's not good enough. So, you know, there you go. Drew Brees going to call us here in a minute, I've been told. By the way, here's the other thing I saw last night. I'm going to do herd hierarchy, but I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to make it post Drew Brees because it takes about 7-8 minutes. Here's the other thing I was watching last night when Drew was tearing up Washington. The other thing I was watching was Washington. As critical as I have been about the Philadelphia Eagles, you can't sell that stock. Washington had a week off and a day. They had a bye week, right? So they veteran quarterback, veteran coach. This should have been a very, very good performance by Washington. Now, I know it's tough to win there. That was awful. The NFC East is an absolute mess. Think about this. The five lowest scoring teams in the NFC. Now, think about this. Arizona's number one. 2, 3, 4, 5 are NFC East teams. It's just a mess. Now, the good news is Dallas is limited, New York's limited, and Washington's limited. Philadelphia is not limited. Philadelphia is injured. Philadelphia is trying to get their act together because they lost coordinators. But when I watched Washington last night, and I watched the Giants this weekend, and I watched the Cowboys, I see limited. I don't think Philadelphia is limited. I just don't think they can get the ship right yet. But I think they have Carson Wentz. They have a great defensive line. They have good offensive personnel. They've got some good running backs. They're all beat up. But I'm watching that last night. And if you're Washington and you're looking at that, there are games in the NFL that leave a mark. And you're like, oh, that's not great. That's just not great. That was one of those for Washington. That wasn't a singular loss. That spoke volumes. Veteran quarterback, extra time off, veteran NFL coach, and not competitive. And it should be noted, New Orleans is going to win a lot of games this year, but that defense, you can take advantage of it. That defense gives up yards, and they didn't last night.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast on Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk a ton of football. This week got a big show. Drew Brees breaking records. Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett. How long will that last? Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers relationships falling apart. Again, you can listen wherever you find your podcast. Just look up 3 and Out with John Middlecoff on Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network.
Well, Drew Brees, of the many accomplishments, I said this a couple hours ago. In my lifetime, there has never been a quarterback who has overcome as many obstacles as Drew Brees. He's not 6'5". He tore up his knee in high school. He went to a kind of a historically running conference, cold weather basketball school, Purdue. Then he plays in San Diego, gets hurt, and then Miami won't clear him. Then he goes to New Orleans and Katrina, and Sean Payton at one point has to leave for a season. Obstacle, 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 obstacle. And you look up, and he's breaking Brett Favre and Peyton Manning's records. That's why I've said I call him one of the great eight, one of the great eight players that's ever played that position that I've ever seen in my life. Impossible not to root for. And Drew has been kind enough to spend a few minutes with us today. Drew, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great, Colin. How are you?
Great. You know what I thought was, and it really speaks to you, instead of last night coming out and saying I wanted to prove people wrong, you came out and said this record proves so many people right. And I thought that was a remarkable thing to say because it'd be very easy to go the other way. And you wanted to talk about breaks and support. Go back. If I said to you, NFL, your first big break, what was it?
Well, you know, honestly, what I learned through the draft process very quickly was that it was more important to end up in the right place, in the right situation, with the right team, the right system, the right coaching staff, as opposed to just getting drafted as high as you possibly can. I mean, I think that's a lot of guys coming out. That is their intent and their goal, is to get drafted as high as they possibly can. And yet at the end of the day, it's about being in the right situation. And I felt like being drafted to the San Diego Chargers in the second round was the best place for me, because I had the chance to be an understudy to Doug Flutie, who was my, one of my childhood role models, the guy that I looked up to, an undersized guy who just constantly overcame the odds. And being around guys like Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison and other great leaders there in San Diego, around a coach like Marty Schottenheimer, I felt like that helped me build the foundation by which, I would build my NFL career.
And then you end up with Sean Payton, who, like a Sean McVay, none of us knew who Sean Payton was. We didn't know who Sean McVay was. When did you realize with Sean Payton, wow, this could be the perfect coach for me?
I remember forever the first time Sean called me. I was literally in a Arby's drive-thru in Birmingham, Alabama. I was there rehabbing. I just had my surgery with Dr. James Andrews, 2 months post-op. Could barely lift my arm still above my shoulder. And here's this, coach calling me, fresh from the Cowboys organization, getting the job in New Orleans. I mean, I don't think he knew exactly what he was taking on at the time. And yet he was telling me that I was his guy. Listen, my confidence took a hit, after that injury, just because as much as I felt like, hey, God had a plan and I was going to come back stronger. I mean, listen, I had my doubts. That was a very daunting time for me, when I was told, hey, 8 months until you're able to throw and then 2 years before you really feel normal again. I mean, that was overwhelming. Yet here was a guy looking me in the eye and saying, you're my guy, and you're going to lead this organization.
What's amazing about you is you literally, when I think New Orleans is the perfect place for you. The offense, your offense is progressive and smart and crazy and fun. And New Orleans, Mardi Gras, crazy and fun. And people have doubted New Orleans. Could they come back? There is this link between you and the city in which you play. And I think that's 100 years from now. I mean, do you ever think about that? That in a weird way, New Orleans, the city, was perfect for you?
There's no question. There's no question. God had a plan. I felt like it was a calling to come to New Orleans. We needed New Orleans as much as you could say maybe New Orleans needed somebody to believe in them too. And so it was the perfect fit. It was the perfect match. In a way, we were both trying to rebuild, right? Rebuild our lives, our career. There was so many unknowns. And yet I just felt like we were all leaning on each other. And the most amazing thing I think my wife Brittany and I experienced when we came on our recruiting visit, so to speak, in New Orleans, was that every person that we met really didn't say anything about football. What they said was, thank you for wanting to be a part of this community and considering New Orleans. And I think you realize very quickly that New Orleans is a special place. It's a unique place. So many of the people who live here have lived here for generations and generations. So it's in their blood. There's a spirit here. There's a culture here that's unlike any other.
One of the challenges you face now as a father, a husband, 39 years old, you are now surrounded often by 22-year-olds. There is an age gap. And it doesn't matter if you're a CEO or a high school principal. You have to bridge that gap. You have to relate to young players who are often backs, receivers, and offensive linemen. How have you done it? Because when I watch you, you're going to be a 40-year-old guy. You're surrounded by kids, and they look up to you, and they listen to you. And I don't think that's easy. And you have bridged it. Do you think about that?
Yeah, it is unique, because I definitely feel like, I come from a different generation. In most cases, guys in the locker room are 22, 23, 24. So I'm 15, 16, 17 years older than a lot of these guys. I like to think that being around them rejuvenates me. It keeps me young. I feel a great sense of responsibility, each and every year to come in and take the new, draft class or the young free agents that come in and you're kind of starting from scratch, the opportunity to build up the offense and recreate the identity of your team again. And I feel like I learn as much from them as I hope they learn from me. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I think having three young boys too. I mean, as I'm talking to you, I'm in the whirlpool at the Saints facility with my boys. And they're running around. One of them's naked right now, jumping in the whirlpool, and they're just like, I mean, they keep me young too. They keep me up to speed on all like the latest Fortnite dances and all that other stuff too. So I feel like I'm pretty hip to the game, you know, even though I'm kind of an old guy now. But now listen, I love the locker room. I love being around the guys. I mean, I know that a lot of the guys who have left the game most recently, retired guys that I know and am good friends with, they say, man, the thing I miss the most is the locker room, being around the guys, and then game day. You know, those are the things you really can't replace, you know, once you leave the game. And so I'm just trying to enjoy the moment, enjoy every second of it.
Well, we've enjoyed every second of you, Drew Brees. 10 minutes on a busy day. Enjoy your family. Thanks for joining our show, buddy.
Thanks, Colin.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. Herd Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
I like the Chicago Bears. Didn't play, but they're number one in the NFL in sacks. Best pass rush in the NFL. They lead the NFC in takeaways. They have the best rushing defense. And I think Mitch Trubisky's limited, but Matt Nagy is a very clever offensive coach. They're about 60% college, 40% pro. And I hope the Bears remain in the top 10 all year. I think it's a really, really interesting team. And they have Chicago's always been led by their defense. Find a great Bears team, it always feels like it's led by its defense. So they're playing to brand, but I have the Bears at number 10.
Number 9.
Minnesota, same division. Listen, Kirk Cousins is fine. I mean, he's not, you know, in a top 7-8 in the NFL, but he's third in the NFL in passing. They have tremendous wide receiver threats. And by the way, here's the thing about Minnesota. Their defense isn't great, but it's not bad on third down. Listen, everybody's scoring in this league. I kind of look at your third down defense. Can you situationally get the opposing offense off the field? Minnesota's not terrible at that. They're not. And so I have the Vikings with a very electric pass offense, a good home field advantage, the best roster in their division, and they get you off the field pretty well on third down is number 9.
Number 8.
Carolina Panthers. Listen, when Cam's winning, it's because he has a very dynamic running game, and Carolina leads the NFL in rushing. But I also think this is it. He's completed over 60% of his passes. He didn't play brilliantly for all of the New York Giants game, but he did make some big throws. This team is different. They're a little bit like Chicago. They're going to do it with their front seven defensively. They're going to run the football more than other teams. They're not going to be as dynamic on the perimeter and outside. I mean, I think Christian McCaffrey leads them in receptions. That tells you all you need to know. But they're definitely a top 10 team. I have Carolina at number 8.
Number 7.
I still think Pittsburgh's loaded. And again, Pittsburgh's got problems defensively. But here's what they do. They get to the quarterback. So my theory on the NFL, if they're the opposite of New England. New England's great on the back end of their defense. Pittsburgh's great up front. They're not good in the back end. And if you told me I had a choice between the two, I'd rather have a great pass rush and figure out the secondary later. By the way, the Steelers have scored 30-plus points in three of their last four games, and James Conner's got almost 600 scrimmage yards. So they're not a great team, but I thought they were super impressive against Atlanta. They are growing, and I have them at number 7.
Number 6.
I still like the Ravens a lot. I wish Joe Flacco at 6'5 would have fewer balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. I can't figure that out. But they bring in Lamar Jackson now. That works. They lead the NFL in scoring defense. And they also lead the NFL in third down defense. And again, I think this team's going to be better by Thanksgiving. They got two rookie tight ends, three new wide receivers. They had many opportunities to win that game, and they didn't. But I'm not selling all my stock on Baltimore. I still think they're the best team in that division, best defense in that division, best scoring defense in the NFL, best third down defense in the NFL with a veteran quarterback and a veteran head coach.
Number 5.
L.A. Chargers. I mean, they just threw the Raiders around for 3.5 hours. By the way, their only losses are to the 5-0 Chiefs and the 5-0 Rams. And they were in both those games. So Phillip Rivers has had 6 consecutive games with multiple touchdown passes dating back to last season. That's the NFL's longest streak. And if you watch the Raider game again, That defense shut down the Raiders, and the Raiders have all sorts of offensive elements, and they shut them down. They may be the second team in L.A., but the Chargers personnel front to back is really, really good.
Number four.
New England, the quarterback coach league. They've scored 38 points in each of their last two games. Again, they don't have a pass rush. And I don't know if you can generate one. I think you can get – their secondary is great. It's the strength of their team. Brady, Gronk, Edelman, Chris Hogan, Sony Michel, that rookie running back, James White. Their strength of their offense is they've got a lot of efficient offensive players. Not a lot of dynamic guys, but a lot of efficient guys. They can pick up yards, a lot of first downs, a lot of time of possession. Defensively, no pass rush, but they're tremendous at corner, great at safety. And I think they have the best coach and quarterback in the NFL, so I have them at four.
Number three.
I think the Saints remind me a lot of the Patriots with a better offensive line. Nobody in the NFL's allowed fewer sacks. They've got a better offensive line in New England, and they do have a dynamic wide receiver on the outside. But I look at this team and I think smart, efficient. They can 5-yard you to death. You can't get to their quarterback. They don't turn it over much. Very good home field advantage. I mean, that was embarrassing for Washington last night. That wasn't competitive. And that was Alex Smith and a veteran coach with coming off a bye week. I got New Orleans at three.
Number two.
Kansas City. By the way, even Vegas admits that turnovers are random, except for New England and Kansas City. Andy Reid's teams don't turn the ball over. Only three turnovers. Once again, Kansas City, fewest turnovers in the NFL. Now, they're last in total defense, and that's a huge problem. They started last year 5-0, they're 5-0. I think against New England, I think the way you look at Kansas City is just 5-yard them to death. Death by 1,000 cuts. I think the defense is ultimately going to catch up to them. They've got to get better, especially on the back end. Too many explosion plays they give up, but I have Kansas City at two.
Number one.
The Rams. Listen, going to Seattle, losing two of your receivers, and still winning that game, I still think this is a great football team. Now, it's a salary cap era. They're not perfect. They don't have a great pass rush. Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald are monsters on the interior, but they don't have a great pass rush. And it's safety back end. You can go over the top a little bit on them. I don't think their linebacking core is perfect. But if you're talking, you know, coaching, coordinating, O-line, interior D-line, corners, receivers, superstar back. You know, it's funny. For all the points, they still feel like a power offense to me with Todd Gurley. I have the Rams at number one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
Well, last night, Drew Brees broke Peyton Manning's record career passing yards, and it's really remarkable if you look at the obstacles he overcame. Drew's having another amazing year, best passer rating, best completion percentage in the NFL, and certainly a Super Bowl-level team at this point. Brees is 39, turns 40 in January. A lot has been written about Tom Brady, the ageless wonder in Foxborough. But we know quarterbacks go downhill in their late 30s. But here's what's remarkable. We dug this up. From age 35 on, Brees, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady, as good as any quarterbacks who have played the last 10 years in this league, that actually Drew Brees in yards per game, completion percentage, and passer rating, minimum 50 games, is better and sometimes significantly better than Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. He's actually been the better old quarterback. But why isn't he celebrated as much? Well, let's look at winning percentage, because Brady and Peyton Manning have had fewer obstacles, often better teammates, often a better front office, and Brees has not won as much. What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to TheHerdNow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out. TheHerdNow.com. The HerdNow.com store is open for business today.